fascinating facts, candid conversations, and some levity to lighten your day. This is the Cale Clark Show on Relevant Radio.
A tremendous Thursday to you. Welcome to the program. So glad you're here. We've got a great show lined up for you today on the Cale Clark Show. 1-888-914-9149 is the number to call. Once again, 1-888-914-9149. This show is packed with goodness, like a stuffed baked potato, like I had for dinner. You know, cheese, sour cream, chives, bacon, Canadian bacon, of course. You can also tweet at me, at Cale Clark, C-A-L-E, Clark with an E. And there's also a show account, too. Don't forget, at Cale Clark Show, C-A-L-E, Clark with an E, show. Or you can email me, cale@relevantradio.com. And first of all, I just want to start off by wishing a very Merry Christmas to anybody who might be listening who's from an Orthodox Christian background. That's right, today is Christmas for Orthodox Christians of the East. And so why are the dates different? Why do we celebrate on December the 25th and they celebrate on January the 7th? I'll get into that, time permitting. I will get into that. I did look up the answer to that. So we can talk about that later, but I want to wish you a very Merry Christmas. Christmas just keeps going. I love it. I absolutely love it. We also have a great listener question for you today. I really want to talk about, we've been going through this series this week in this first set of programs for the new year about good spiritual habits, new spiritual habits for a new you in 2021. What are some changes that you can make in your spiritual life? Some resolutions, if you will, from a Catholic point of view that can help you. And what I want to talk about today is the sacrament of confession. And I'm going to be sharing with you later on from a priest's perspective, what this particular priest wants to say to you about how to make your confessions better for you and for them. And so I've got a listener question for you today about confession. So if you want to get on the horn, 1-888-914-9149, here's your question, okay? It's really a two-part question. A, when was the last time you went to confession? And B, what are the sins that you confessed? No, I'm only kidding. Trust me. I don't want to know. You don't want to. You don't want to know mine either. Trust me. So that's not the real question. I'm only joking. The real question is this: What was the experience of your first confession like? I don't want to know what you confessed. Just what was your experience of your very first confession, if you can remember? Maybe your first confession was when you were young. Maybe it was later on in life. What was it like for you? Was it terrifying? Were you scared? And by the way, I don't just want lay people to call in on this. If there are any priests or bishops or cardinals, you know, listening to the program right now, call in. Because, you know, what I hear often from priest friends is this, you know, a lot of priests say, hey, you know, when it came time for their first confession after being ordained, the first time hearing confessions, man, a lot of them were scared out of their minds. You know, they think that the penitent is scared. You know, if penitents think they're scared, you know, imagine how a priest feels the first time he actually has to hear a confession. But I mean, just the gravity of the situation, right? But it's incredibly powerful as well. And I'm sure that for most priests, it is an absolute highlight and a grace of their priestly ministry that just, you know, fills them with so much joy. So yeah, priests or lay people, call in. Let me know. So we'll get to that in just a couple of minutes. And by the way, of course, I hope you're feeling more optimistic today, because after the events of yesterday, the sun did come up this morning. It's the calm after the storm. Kind of reminds me of what my high school principal said, you know, in his message in our senior year yearbook. I don't know why I remember this, but he said, the one thing I want to tell you graduates is that no matter how bad things get, the sun always comes up the next morning. So thank you, Mr. Buck. It's true. A fresh start. It's a new day. And there are a lot of questions to be asked, obviously, about what happened yesterday, the storming of the Capitol. How could law enforcement have let this happen? How could security forces have failed so miserably? Four people lost their lives yesterday, and we need to pray for the repose of their eternal souls. And what kept running through my mind yesterday, at least from an international perspective, is, you know, what would America's enemies be thinking on the world stage right now? I could just imagine Vladimir Putin in Moscow sitting there watching this chaos with a grin on his face. maybe, you know, playing with his Super Bowl ring that he stole from Robert Kraft, allegedly, the owner of the New England Patriots. I do believe Bob Kraft on this. That's one thing that came out. It's been reported before, but I read a great book over the holidays about the New England Patriots football dynasty called The Dynasty by Jeff Benedict. It's a great read if you're a football fan. And it's the only sports book I've ever read that talks about sports from the perspective of a team owner. I've never seen that done before. But the stuff about Bob Kraft, the owner of the Patriots, is just fascinating. And one of the things that he says in the book is that on a business trip to Russia, sort of some American businessmen, very prominent, went to Russia to meet with Vladimir Putin, try to drum up some business interests. And Putin asked to see one of Robert Kraft's Super Bowl rings, one of the six that he has won as owner of the New England Patriots. And Putin takes the ring and says, wow, this is really, really nice. And he sticks it into his pocket and walks away. And Kraft is like, what just happened? What just happened? And he was told, Bob, don't say anything. You're going to touch off an international incident. Just keep it quiet. But it's an unbelievable story. But I 100% believe it. I do 100% believe it. So it's not so unbelievable after all. Anyways, that's what I was thinking last night. And speaking of confession, we're going to talk about confession later, but I have to make a confession to you. Mea culpa, mea maxima culpa. I did not take my own advice yesterday when I told you, hey, stay away from the news cycle. Just, you know, get what you need to know and get out, you know, get a good night's sleep, you know, move on. Don't fixate on this. Well, I did not take my own advice. So I confess that to you. Please forgive me. And I stayed glued in front of the television for way too long last night. And, you know, of course I know you're not really going to learn anything. There's nothing going to be really revelatory there's no gain that you can make from doing this. It's only going to add to your stress. What you really need is a good night's sleep. So hopefully we'll all get that tonight. So we'll talk about that. We'll talk about that. And there's a really nice piece, by the way, and how can we handle all this spiritually? We talked a little bit about this yesterday, of course, on the show. Really, all we can do is pray. And Father Rocky appeared yesterday on the Drew Mariani Show, which precedes the show, of course. And Stephanie Foley has written a really nice piece up on relevantradio.com summarizing Father Rocky's response to yesterday's events. And one of the things that Father noted, of course, Father Rocky, the executive director of Relevant Radio, he noted that the violence that unfolded at the U.S. Capitol was really not unrelated to the violence of abortion in our culture. And he said that what's going on in Washington, D.C. is kind of what Mother Teresa talked about. And she said, we can't expect to have peace in our country or our world as long as parents can take the lives of their unborn children. And maybe what she was saying was prophetic. That's what Father Rocky said yesterday. And I agree with that. I remember when Mother Teresa spoke at the National Prayer Breakfast in Washington, D.C., and she looked then President Bill Clinton in the eye and said, if you allow mothers to kill their own children legally, how in the world can you tell other people not to kill each other? Great question. Great question. And Father Rocky encouraged everybody as well to remember that even in times of unrest, violence and fear, God is still here. And we can experience the peace of God. Again, it's not a natural peace. This isn't a peace that we can come up with on our own. It comes from heaven. It is not of this world. As St. Paul says in Philippians chapter 4, verse 7, the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. And Jesus promised that my peace is not like the peace of the world. It's not sort of an uneasy truce. It's a real supernatural peace. And Father Rocky reminded us, you know, when Jesus was born in Bethlehem, and of course, as I mentioned off the top, our Orthodox Christian friends are celebrating Christmas today. When Jesus was born in Bethlehem, you know, things were worse. Herod was an absolute lunatic. It was incredibly dangerous. He wanted to slaughter all the boys in Bethlehem vicinity 2 years of age and under. And yet somehow Jesus, Mary, and Joseph found peace in the midst of all that chaos, and were able to live the beautiful love that they had in the Holy Family. And that makes all the difference. That's what Father Rocky said, and that's so true. And I'm going to talk about this a little bit later. We can't let what's happening around us impact our supernatural cheerfulness and joy. More than ever, we need to do this. We need to proclaim our ultimate allegiance to the kingdom of God, because there's no human government, no matter who our human leaders are, that can really lead us to the promised land, so to speak. Throughout human history, time and time again, people have thought that they could build a utopia on Earth, whether it's Camelot or whatever. It doesn't work because there is such a thing as sin in the world. There is original sin. And of course, some attempts get closer to the ideal than others. And I talked about this on our other show, The Faith Explained. We're going through the book of Revelation, and we look at the heavenly city, the perfect society that comes down out of heaven from God. We're looking at this right now, right after the daily mass, which happens, of course, at noon Eastern or noon Central, rather, on Relevant Radio. At 12:30 Central, the Faith Explained program comes on right afterwards. They call it Class After Mass. We go through the scriptures, and we see what God has to say to us in depth. And one of the things we're looking at as we're closing off our study on the book of Revelation is this heavenly city, the New Jerusalem, coming down from God. Its architect and builder is God. It's not built by humans. And so there's no chance it's going to get messed up. And so this is the society, this is our true homeland and country that we have to put our hopes in, while at the same time trying to make the society in which God has placed us a better one, and try to make it more conform to God's ideal. We've got to do that. So this is really what we can do. We can pray, and we can try to be a good example to others, like Father Rocky talked about. Let's do some acts of charity. If you're, what do I do with myself during these times? Try to love people in action. Shovel your neighbor's driveway. You know, I think it was Father Matthew who spoke about this last night on Trending with Timmeries. He was guest hosting. Your neighbor can't hate you, you know, if you've just shoveled his driveway. You know, it's a great practical act of love. There's so many people suffering in this COVID crisis right now. We want to pray especially for Patrick Madrid's mother, who has contracted COVID. We pray for her healing and for her comfort and for peace in that family. And so please keep her in your prayers. So there's so many things that we can do in this time of unrest to show the values of the kingdom of God, because people are looking for hope today. They absolutely are. And again, as Father Rocky said on Drew's show, prayer does work. It's not escapism. And he talked about this a lot in his book, Mary at the Crossroads of History. When Our Lady of Guadalupe appeared, and in early December, we did a number of shows about this on the Cale Clark Show, about the Tilma, the appearance of Our Lady to Juan Diego. This was a culture where human sacrifice was the norm, very similar to our own day with the evil of abortion. And after Our Lady of Guadalupe appeared, things changed very quickly. And this is a supernatural change. This is not, you know, evangelism committees getting together and saying, oh, you know, how can we reach these people? This is Our Lady appeared and 8 million people converted in the next 10 years. That was not a human plan. That wasn't some great idea that somebody had, you know, in a church rectory. This was a supernatural event that was put in motion by the hand of God. And we need that in our own culture. We need that in our own lives. It's the only way it's going to happen. So let's pray. Let's pray. And as Father Rocky said, it's in God we trust, not in government. That's, he's right. It's right on the greenback, right? The United States dollar. And so we've got to talk about the city of God, the New Jerusalem, that we start building here, by the way, on earth, and the way that we live our lives. The way that we'll experience heaven is in large part related to the way that we correspond to God's will on earth. And we're talking about that on the Faith Explained show right now, the rewards of heaven. It's not unspiritual to think about the rewards, because in order for us to get these rewards, we have to really become saints now. And that's good for everybody. It's good for us. It's good for the people around us too. And so that's what we need to do. We need to get in touch with God's word for sure. And let me give another plug here. A lot of people are asking, we talked about this earlier in the week, a lot of people want to make a commitment to Bible reading in 2021. Well, guess what we're going to do next on the Faith Explained show? After we're finished with Revelation in the next couple of days, next week we'll be starting a brand new study on the book of Genesis, the first book in the Bible. We're going to go back to the beginning. We're going to roll it back and find out God's original plan for creation and how he wants to renew it in Christ. It's so foundational. So this is a great time to start. You can join me every single day of 2021 on the Faith Explained show. We're going to grow as we read scripture together. So please tell your friends about this. Please get them to log on to relevantradio.com or go onto the app, subscribe to the podcast. You're not going to want to miss an episode. I'm so excited about what we've got planned for you coming up. It's just amazing. So all that stuff is really, really good. And so anyway, so that's a great way for us to deal with what's going on, prayer, and focusing on how we can become saints. That's the best thing for, you know, every world crisis, as one saint said, is a crisis of saints.
So let's become saints. Let's go for it. And try not to, tonight again, try not to spend too much time in front of the tube. Do what you need to do. Even from a human level, go for a run. It's a great stress reliever. Exercise. That's something you can do too. USA Today had an interesting article kind of from a mental health perspective today about that people are really struggling. And especially if they're not people of faith, it's probably much worse for them. The psychological effects of all the stressors in our lives over the past few months, whether it's, you know, the pandemic, whether it's disasters like the wildfires that raged across a lot of the United States over the summer, whether it's the civil unrest, whether it's the election stuff and everything that happened yesterday. And so we have to take care of ourselves. And this is one thing that the article quoted. It was from Vail Wright, who's the senior director of healthcare innovation at the American Psychological Association. It's about focusing on what's in your control. What can you control? Your thoughts, your feelings, your behaviors. And we have to stop worrying about things that we can't control and spend a lot more time worrying about things that we can. The New England Patriots, again, to use an example from football, that's part of why they were so successful. Coach Bill Belichick, he always reminded his players, do your job, do your job. And you could. I only want you to worry about what you're doing, what you can control. That's a great thing. We can really take a lot from that as well. So it's been an incredibly disruptive year, and people are really craving some type of reassurance about the future. And so what can we do? We can pray, can take constructive action, focus on what we could control, and understand that we need to sometimes take a break from all this. And I'm going to try to take my own advice tonight. I didn't last night, but today's a new day. It's a new start. The sun came up today. And I'm going to shut it down. I'm going to read a book. And if you do watch television, one thing the article said that you should do from a mental health perspective is try not to watch right up until the time you go to bed. Give yourself at least an hour to calm down. Turn it off. Turn off social media. And yeah, look for those de-stressors. And one of the best things you can do, obviously, is pray. Interestingly enough, too, this article also mentioned one thing that can make us feel better is practicing gratitude. It seems counterintuitive. There, you know, it doesn't seem like a lot to be thankful for, but there always is. There always is. If we practice gratitude and thankfulness in the face of all this adversity and distress, well, that's going to make us understand that God is active in our lives. From a Catholic perspective, we can understand this. It's not just, you know, thanking the universe, it's thanking Almighty God. And this is really part of prayer. Our Father, it's a great template of prayer. And maybe you've heard this acronym. You want to pray better in 2021? Here's a good place to start. You know, in our mental prayer, our conversational prayer with God. Ever heard the acronym ACTS, A-C-T-S, like the Acts of the Apostles? Well, A stands for adoration. C stands for confession. We're going to talk a little bit about confession in just a minute here. T stands for thanksgiving. And S stands for supplication, you know, asking for things that we need. But we don't want to start with that, right? It's, you know, God does want to hear our needs, and He knows about them. He knows about them far better than we do. But let's start with adoration and thanksgiving. So a lot of people say, what is adoration? How do you adore God in prayer? Well, one of the best ways to do it is by giving thanks. That's really how we adore God. That's really how we do it, by giving thanks to Him. For all, when we do that, it glorifies God. We recognize the many blessings that He's given us in our lives. And there's always a lot of blessings to be found if we look for them. And again, don't lose your supernatural cheerfulness. It's a sign that we're confident that Jesus has overcome the world. As He says in the Gospel of John, in this world, you will have trouble, but take heart. I have overcome the world. So one thing we can do to help our mental health stay strong, as well as obviously our spiritual health in 2020, is, or it's 2021. Well, I don't want to go back in time, believe me, neither do you, is to make a, it's, I always do this at the start of the year, by the way, maybe you do too, when you're writing the date down. For the first few days, I always say the previous year until, like, oh, no, I got to get this through my head. Maybe you did that in school on your paperwork and stuff. I do it all the time. So it's not 2020, thank goodness, it's 2021. We're moving forward to the New Jerusalem. It's ever closer today than it was yesterday. And one of the things we can do that'll help our mental health as well as our spiritual health is to make a good confession. And it's often said that if you spend more time in the confessional box, you'll spend a lot less time in the psychiatrist's chair. If you're Charlie Brown, you won't have to go see Lucy as often, you know, 5 cents the doctor is in. And we'll talk about that after the break, along with your phone calls. So stick with me on the Cale Clark Show, 1-888-914-9149 in Relevant Radio. Be right back.
Explaining the faith so you can explain it to others. It's the Cale Clark Show on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
Hey, welcome back to the show. So glad you're with me today. Oh, great tune, Lucas. Wow, you really, you got a future as a DJ if this doesn't work out, let me tell you that. All right, we're cracking open another segment here. Don't worry, it's just Pepsi. We all could use maybe a nice stiff drink in light of everything. I'm only kidding. Well, what I asked you at the top of the show was this. What was your first confession like? Do you remember it? Were you scared? Were you terrified? What was the experience like? And that's for priests as well. If there are any priests listening, what was it like the first time you heard a confession? You can call 1-888-914-9149. I'm going to be giving some advice in just a minute from a priest, which I thought was really, really useful. From a priest's perspective, how we can make our confessions better, not only for ourselves, but also for the priest as well, who's hearing your confession. It's good stuff. So we're going to go to the phones right now. Georgiana is calling from Little Rock, Arkansas. Georgiana, welcome to the show. How are you?
I am great, thank you.
Awesome. So what's your story?
My story is that I don't remember my first confession. That was over 50 years ago.
Wow.
However, I was raised Catholic, but I left the church when I was 19.
And so
for the next 40-something years, I went to non-denominational churches.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And so...
when did you come home?
I moved to Little Rock in 2011. My sister lives here, and she stayed Catholic all her life.
Wow.
And I knew I needed to go to church, and I was debating because I hadn't even been to any church for several years.
Mm-hmm.
And so I just decided to honor my mom, who's raised us Catholic, and go back to the Catholic Church. Mm-hmm. I left before Vatican II. I left. So the church is very different.
Absolutely.
So, yeah, I went to RCIA because I wanted to learn all the...
That's a good idea.
...new differences.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. But my first confession, I was dreading it at first, and I decided I wanted to do it right. And so I got online and found a website that had... I just Googled how to make a good confession.
That's not bad.
There's all kinds of websites, but I found one that just really appealed to me, and it went through the Ten Commandments.
Yeah.
And what it did was it listed each commandment and then all the different things, you know, because I felt like there were things that I did in my life that I didn't think was sin, but... Mm-hmm. When I read this, I'm going, oh, that's in the third commandment.
Right, know? Yeah.
So anyway, I went through that one thing at a time, and I wrote down everything that God, you know, the Holy Spirit was reminding me. Okay.
That's a good thing to do.
I've sinned in this area.
Yep.
And I wrote it down, wrote it in a book, dated it, went to confession, and I just read it to the priest.
Yeah.
And it helps to have a priest who's absolutely awesome. And the priest, he's Jesus. I mean, I think
beautiful.
He was like what I think Jesus would be like, talking to me. He's soft-spoken and gentle.
That's beautiful.
I just felt at peace. And just, I was very thankful that I had come back to the Catholic Church.
That's a beautiful story, Georgiana. I really thank you for sharing that. You said a lot of important things there. I really like one of the things, a lot of things that you did there. When you found that list, and a lot of churches have this, by the way, I know in my parish church, they have sort of this pamphlet by the confessional that basically is a big examination of conscience, and it uses the Ten Commandments as a guide and kind of expands on them a little bit. Just like really the Catechism of the Catholic Church takes the Ten Commandments and kind of expands on it a little bit. And sometimes people need that to kind of, you know, jog their memories and think, well, yeah, maybe that was something I really should confess. So, and another thing that you did that I really liked was that you actually wrote things down. And, you know, obviously when you're done with that confession, you can shred that, you can tear that up and throw that away. God has thrown your sins in the sea of forgetfulness and he remembers them no more. But it's a good thing to do sometimes because if you try to leave it all to memory, you might get flustered or forget or, you know, because we're all sometimes a little nervous. So it's not a bad thing to write it down and just kind of read it. That's totally great. And God bless that priest who was obviously so gentle with you and reconciled you, brought you home. That's a great story, Georgiana. And I'm glad you came back home to the church. And thank you for calling today. And thank you for listening in Little Rock, Arkansas. God bless you.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, thanks so much, Georgiana. Really appreciate that call. Georgiana, once again, from Little Rock, Arkansas. What a great story. I should tell you guys, I have my own little story, too, about my first confession when I came back into the church. After spending 10 years outside the church on evangelical Protestantism, including a pastoral ministry, and there was a priest who was helping me, Father Tom Lynch. He was kind of counseling me, and he gave me this little handbook on confession and said, I want you to check this out, and we'll talk about it next time we meet. We're kind of meeting every week or so. And I said, oh, great, I'll check it out. And I guess I misheard him, because what he actually said was, oh, next time we meet, you'll actually go to confession. You'll actually make your confession. And I did look at the book, but I didn't actually go through the questions. And I thought, oh, this is pretty good. And I thought we were going to sort of discuss it. So when I showed up for the next meeting, he's like, so are you ready to make your confession? And I guess I was too embarrassed to say, oh, I didn't realize I was supposed to prepare for that. So I just went ahead and did it, you know, and I kind of just went from memory. So it was, I guess, a very general confession in that sense. I did the best I could. It had been a while since I'd been to confession, too. It had been, oh, gosh, you know, many, many years. Probably close to, I don't know, probably 15 years or so. Anyways, here I am. And I said the creed. Now, the great thing about being a Catholic coming back into the church is that you're just basically one good confession away from being back in the good graces of God, even if you haven't been practicing for many years. And so I basically had to recite the creed in his presence to say that, yes, I believed everything that the Catholic Church taught as being revealed by God, and made my confession. So I was back in, and it was a joyful day. Absolutely. Back to the phones now. Kim Ann is calling from Fort Lauderdale, Florida. Kim Ann, welcome to the show.
Oh, may peace be with you in the new year.
Thank you so much. And with you as well. Yeah, what's on your mind, Kim? What's your story? Do you have a story about confession?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I recall my first confession, and it was more than 50 years ago, I can assure you of that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, way back when in the 60s, when it was the decadent year for Woodstock, and music, and rock and roll, and yeah. God's and the Devil's radio, and all of that good stuff. So, yeah, I had a wonderful confession experience. Unfortunately, that ended way too soon for me, as I suffered a spinal cord injury.
Oh.
After that, I could no longer kneel for confession or penance, and it affected my three children in ways very detrimental, I'm afraid.
Mm-hmm. I'm so sorry to hear that. And yeah, for sure, not being able to kneel to pray. You know, if you're dealing with back issues, and that's obviously not possible. Although obviously interiorly, we can certainly humble ourselves before God anytime. And yeah, so how old were you, Kim Ann, when you made that first confession?
Eight years old. I was born in the summertime, so it was before the school year, I recall.
Okay.
It was in the Northeast, you know, when churches were just amazing, you know, in the Northeast. Mm. They were just different than in the South. So
Okay. Well, you know, it's amazing how many people have such vivid memories of their first confession, you know, even if they were, you know, quite young at the time. It's an indelible experience. And I remember, too. I remember when I received my first confession. I remember it was kind of in, there were a lot of kids who were kind of in this program, a catechetical program. And I remember we went into this room. It was a confessional. I was wondering whether it was a makeshift confessional, but anyways, it was a real confessional. There was a curtain there, and I remember the priest, his hand came up from behind the curtain when he gave me the absolution and made the sign of the cross, and I thought that was really cool. It's really the hand of God that, of course, is making use of the priest's body, borrowing the priest's vocal cords, if you will, is Jesus, mm-hmm. and he's the one who's giving us okay. Forgiveness, to be sure. So, well, God bless you, Kim Ann. Thank you so much for calling in today. And thanks mm-hmm. for joining us on
Be
the program.
Well. Be safe.
You too. Mm-hmm. And please pray for me. Pray for you too. I really appreciate that. Thanks so much. That was Kim Ann calling from Fort Lauderdale, Florida. Well, listen, I think right now is probably a good time to share with you what I promised I would. And if you're still on hold, stay there, hang in there. I'll get to you as soon as I can. But wanted to tell you about how you can make a really great confession or really get in the habit of making better confessions in this new year of 2021. And Father Paul Herman on Twitter, I found this thread that he posted on Twitter, and his Twitter handle is @backwardsfeet. Now, I don't know what that means, but it's kind of interesting. And he actually posted this in Advent, because a lot of people obviously want to go to confession prior to the Christmas season. Well, they're just as applicable in the new year, his tips for confession. And here's what he wanted to tell us. He said he thought it would be a good idea just to share some tips from a priest's perspective on how to make a good confession. So here we go. He gives about 9 things here, which I'm going to read to you. So number 1, all mortal sins must be confessed in kind and number. And if you don't know the exact number of times you committed the sin, you can make an estimate or say about how often. I actually did that. When I made my confession coming back into the church, I of course had no idea how many times I'd done certain things, but I just kind of made a general confession of these things. Now, with venial sins, Father Herman says, you don't need to say the number for venial sins. You know, I committed this particular venial sin, you know, 20 times. You don't need to say the number for venial sins, but you do need to say as much as you can possibly remember mortal sins in kind and in number. You're listening to the K.O. Clark Show on Relevant Radio. And we're looking at this idea of making better confessions. It's a great spiritual habit, a great spiritual resolution you can make for this new year of 2021. Now, here's the second point that Father Paul Herman makes. Now, this was interesting to me. He says, now this is him talking, not me. Start your confession by mentioning your state in life. I've never heard anybody say this before. And I'm not, and you don't necessarily have to do this, I don't think, but it's interesting that he gives this advice. He says, start your confession by mentioning your state in life. So here's an example. Bless me, Father, for I've sinned. I'm a 35-year-old wife and mother with 3 kids. Why does he say this? Well, your state in life, he says, can affect the severity of your sins and gives context to the priest for advice. Now he says, don't dox yourself. Now, you know what doxing is. This is very common in this cancel culture that we live in, which we talked about the other day. You know, people kind of, the mob descends on you and they release all this information about you, where you live and all this sort of stuff. He said, don't dox yourself. Don't say, hi, I'm, you know, John Smith and I live at, you know, whatever. But he says, don't do that. You don't have to reveal your name, your identity, who you are. But context does help. Context helps. I've never thought of this before. I've never thought of this point before. And obviously, this is only good for anonymous confessions, you know, behind the grill or behind the curtain. If you're in the habit of meeting regularly with a confessor who knows you, I mean, this obviously doesn't apply. They know who you are. And it's funny, too, because I, you know, parish priests, some of my parish priest friends will tell me that it's funny how people try to disguise their voices in the confessional because, oh, man, I don't want Father to know who I am, you know. He doesn't care. He's going to completely forget about this and put it out of his mind as soon as he leaves the confessional. But people try to disguise their voice. Bless me, Father, for I've sinned. Hey, I know it's you, Terry, or whatever. Anyways, so if you're in the habit of meeting face-to-face, obviously, with your confessor, this obviously doesn't apply. And a lot of people choose to go, if they have a priest as a spiritual director, which is also a good habit to get into, by the way, they often just kind of double up. They'll go to spiritual direction and confession in the same session. Kind of makes sense. a lot less explaining to do. I just told you all this stuff, and now I'm going to get past the bad things. Anyways, but that's an interesting thought, you know, sort of your context in life. You know, I'm in my mid-40s or whatever, and, you know, I'm a dad, and I do this, or, you know, okay, interesting thought. So maybe that's helpful to you, maybe it's not. You don't necessarily have to do that, but it could help, and it could help the priest to give appropriate advice. The next point that he makes, and this is, again, Father Paul Herman on Twitter, at Backwards Feet is his handle. And here's what he says for the next point. This is important. He says, say the sin that you're most scared or embarrassed about saying first. It makes the rest of the confession easier. It gives the priest more time to think about advice if it's a bigger sin. And also, he says, priests can tell from the sound of your voice that you're holding something back anyways. Okay, people sound kind of nervous. You know, okay, I know you want to tell me something. Just tell me. And so get the big sin out of the way first. Get it out of the way. Get it out there. And one saint talks about, you know, the enemy wants to kind of tie your tongue in a knot. You know, it doesn't want you to say it. Just get it out there. Just say it. There's nothing you can say that the priest hasn't heard before. Trust me. There's nothing you can say that he hasn't heard before. Yeah, you know, I struggle with this too. I got to admit, like, sometimes I'll have a warm up sin that I'll confess first, and then the big one. You know, I just make it kind of ease my way into it. So, anyways, that's pretty good advice there. You're listening to the Cale Clark Show on Relevant Radio, going through this advice from Father Paul Herman on how to make a better confession. Here's point number four. You only have to say the specific sin and the number of times you committed it, and only if that is mortal. And this is, again, Father Paul talking, not me. He says, I don't want to sound rude, but please don't tell the stories of your sins, especially if there are people in line behind you. And we see this a lot. You know, if you go to confession during a time where it's like scheduled confession time at the parish, and if there's 20 people in line behind you and the priest only has a few minutes to hear confessions before, you know, he has to celebrate Mass or whatever the case may be, you don't have to tell the backstory. You know, well, you know, when I was 16, you know, I had, you know, no. Just say the sin. Just get it out there. Remember the four C's, right? Confessions should be clear, concise, complete, and contrite. You know, contrition is key. Obviously, you actually have to be sorry for your sins to receive absolution. And you're not fooling God. If you're not really planning on changing your life, you know, God knows that. You might have fooled the priest, but you're not fooling God. So don't tell the stories. You know, if you need spiritual direction about something, you want clarification, that's best done outside the confessional. Make an appointment, unless there's like nobody there and he's got all kinds of time. Please be mindful. Unless you're making a specific appointment with the guy, please be mindful of the other people in line behind you. The next point that he gives, context can sometimes help for sins, but we don't need to hear the whole story. So, for example, you might say, you know, I was rude to my cousins. Okay, ding, ding, that's good. That's fine. But if you start saying stuff like, you know, well, you know, there was this boy, you know, who I used to tease. His name was Chesterfield. And, you know, he kind of deserved it, really. His parents basically were begging other kids to tease him with that name, Chesterfield. And now, that's you don't want to go into the backstory, okay? So context can sometimes help, but don't need to hear everything, okay? Number six. This should be pretty key, but apparently this happens a lot. Apparently this happens a lot, according to priests. Confess your sins, not the other people's sins. Okay. So don't say, you know, my wife did this or whatever, you know, or my husband. Confess your own sins. Another thing that Father Herman says is, he says, you don't need to tell me why sins are bad or that you know that they're wrong. You know, I know this is wrong, but you already know that. I know that you know that. That's why you're in confession. That's great. Praise God that you're here. That's awesome. But you don't need to tell the priest that you know that sins are bad. We all know this. Point number seven. And there's 9 points, so we're almost there. Point seven. If you're confessing a habitual grave sin, it can be helpful to the priest if you mention how long you've been struggling with it and things that you've tried to do in the past to try to overcome it. Okay. Next point. This is important too, I think, because a lot of people are confused about this. Emotions are not necessarily sins. It's what you do with them that matters. So don't just confess anger, confess what anger led you to do. Or if you just sort of sat in your anger and stewed or whatever, And not all anger is sinful, for example, just to take one emotion. There was the righteous anger, of course, of Jesus, right? When he cleared the merchants from the temple, or ripping people off, you know, and you've made my house, you know, a den of thieves. It should be a house of prayer, of course. So, and the last thing, I just want to expand on this for 1 second. He says also temptations are not sins. You don't need to confess a temptation unless you acted on it. So, for example, if you have an impure thought that pops in your head, but you dismiss it right away, okay, that's good. If you stew on it, then you're just turning it over and over in your mind. It becomes lustful. That's a different story. Next point, and this is the last one. Try not to be overly vague. Try not to be overly vague. Saying, for example, I watch bad movies. What does that mean? That can mean a lot of things. Do you mean overly violent movies? Do you mean, you know, pornography? What you have, be really clear about what that is. So try not to be too vague. All right. And then the last thing is, and we can talk about this on another episode if you want. If you struggle with scrupulosity, he gives an example of a good guide, and I can share with that what that is with you after. A lot of people struggle with scrupulosity, and so do I, by the way. I really do struggle with it, so I'll share that with you after the break. And we can even talk about that on another show if you want. So once again, that number, 1-888-914-9149. It's Cale Clark Show on Relevant Radio. What was your first confession like? Do you remember that? Has confession been a boon to you and something that's really helped you in your life? Let me know. We'll be right back after this break. Catholic Order of Foresters is proud to sponsor the Relevant Radio studio line. For information about employment opportunities and flexible premium life insurance plans, visit relevantradio.com/Forester.
This is The Cale Clark Show, giving you the confidence you need to bring the faith into everyday life.
Hey, welcome back to the show for our final segment on this Thursday. And once again, Merry Christmas to all our Orthodox friends who are celebrating Christmas this day, January the 7th, as we, of course, in the Roman Catholic Church and a lot of other Christian communities celebrated, of course, on December the 25th. I think we all knew that. But anyways, we've been talking about confession today and making a really great confession as a great way to clear the slate and start fresh in 2021. And we talked about the advice of an interesting priest on Twitter who gave a series of tips for parishioners, for lay people as they make confessions. And his name is Father Paul Herman. His Twitter handle is @backwardsfeet. And the last thing he said was, if you struggle with scrupulosity, I mentioned this just before the break, if you struggle with scrupulosity, he gives a good guide, and I'll give you the website, fisheaters.com/scruples.html. All right, now, I'll say this. That's fisheaters.com/scruples.html. I found it helpful. If you want me to talk about scrupulosity on the show, if this is something you struggle with, let me know. You can tweet at me, @CaleClark. C-A-L-E, Clark with an E, if you're on Twitter. You could also, of course, email the program, kale@relevantradio.com, or call us, 1-888-914-9149, because I can't be the only one who struggles with this. We can actually do a segment on this on the show. But we're going to go back to the phones right now. We're going to go to Bella, who is calling from Hollywood, Florida. Bella, welcome to the show. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. Thanks so much for taking my call. Actually, it was so appropriate because my husband and I were talking about confession today, which I'm so fascinated. I was, of course, baptized Catholic and received my first communion. Don't remember my first confession, but my parents did not attend church. So I basically, you know, was searching for, when I was a teenager, searching for the real truth, right? The real love, which was Jesus. And it came back to church. But I want to actually ask you about one thing that happened to me when I was in a retreat later in Florida. Okay. And at the time I was preparing myself, examining my conscience to make my confession, and I opened up and I prayed to the Holy Spirit, a lot of things came from my past that I may even remember. Mm-hmm. And I went ahead and I confessed all those things, right? Mm-hmm. So later on, I heard about general confession. Mm-hmm. So I just want to ask you, where can I get more information about that?
But kind of making a general confession? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, this is what I've been told by priests. Now, I'm not a priest, obviously. But what I've been told by priests is that when it comes to things like, this happened to me, right? When I came back into the church, I made kind of a general confession, and I confessed everything that I could possibly remember that I had done wrong. And then this is why sometimes, I think everybody says this, hopefully, when they're finished confession, before the priest gives us absolution, we say, "And for all my other sins, I'm sorry." If there's any I've forgotten somehow, then I submit that as well, even if I don't recall it. And so if you recall, priests have always told me that if you recall a mortal sin that you didn't specifically confess after the confession, don't worry about it because you're covered. But, you just might want to mention it in your next confession and just submit that. But not to worry that, you're not forgiven or anything like that. Because this is one of the things that, the enemy can do. And this is kind of feeds into the scrupulosity issue. This nagging voice saying, maybe you didn't do it right. Maybe you didn't make the confession properly. Maybe you're not really forgiven. And these thoughts are from the enemy, right, who wants to throw us off course. So what we're going to do is we're going to post in the show notes for the program on relevantradio.com, relevantradio.com/Kale. You can find some info on the show. We're going to post a guide to confession there. And Karen Moran, who's working social media for us on the show today, as always, has found this. And it's from the Fathers of Mercy. And so you might want to just check out the show notes online afterwards, and we'll post a good guide there for people, okay? And there's several of them out there, of course, perfect, about how to make a good confession. So hopefully that'll be helpful to you, Bella. Thank you so much for calling in.
Okay.
Really appreciate you. God bless you. And Lord be with you in 2021. Great. That was Bella calling from Hollywood, California. We're going to go now to Philadelphia, the city of brotherly love. We're going to go to Frank calling from Philadelphia. Frank, how are you?
Hi, Kim. First, I want to apologize. Hey. My allergies kicked in. My throat's a little dry, so apologize for my voice.
No worries.
In my situation, my last confession was about maybe 4 or 3 years ago.
Okay.
I couldn't make it at that time, but now I really can't due to medical conditions. I called my parish before and asked, can I do it by telephone? They said that they don't do that. Mm. And I can't get anyone to get me there to do face by face. Is there any 800 numbers you can call or anything to do a telephone confession?
Yeah, unfortunately, they're right about that. We can't do confession over the telephone. It's obviously a situation where you can't physically get to where the priest is. And a priest, so far you haven't been able to find a priest who will visit you?
No, our parish is very small, and priests is like one or two there, that's it. And they can't do that. I've asked numerous times, they can't. They're busy. They understand, they say, but they can't do it.
Wow.
And I asked people, either the convent or the rectory, can you ask parishioners, can you give me a ride? And the results are zero. So that's where I'm at.
Well, Frank, I'm so sorry to hear that. And, there's got to be, I find that kind of strange, to be quite honest with you, that the priest would not make a visit to see you and grant you absolution, the sacrament of confession. That's really disheartening to me. I would say, if you could call maybe one idea would be to call the home office of your diocese or archdiocese in Philadelphia and see if there's any priest in the archdiocese that can come and see you. Maybe a religious priest. And you know what? By the way, when I'm done with you, Frank, here speaking, please stay on the line. Patrick Alog is going to help you. I've just told a whispering in my ear. He's going to give you some resources and some help away from live radio here and try to help you in your situation. And so thanks so much, okay? Thanks for calling in, Frank. And I would just say this, just one last thing is that, and this is for you and for anybody who can't physically make it to the confessional for some reason. Maybe you're in a remote place where there is no priest. And obviously throughout the centuries, there have been many believers in places like Japan where they did not have a priest for a very long time, decades and decades and decades. So what do you do in that case? You make an act of contrition. You confess to the Lord, obviously, as much as you can, and trusting that God can work outside of the sacrament. And of course he does. People ask this question all the time. If I'm in the RCIA program and I'm about to make my first confession, what happens if I get hit by a truck, before the Easter Vigil? Don't worry, because your intention was to go to confession, and you would have gone at the earliest opportunity, obviously. So this is what we need to remember, that God is extremely merciful, infinitely so. Jesus, I trust in you, the divine mercy prayer. We got to pray that a lot. And so just if you're in that situation, you physically cannot get to a priest, make an act of contrition. And the Lord hears that, absolutely. But go to confession at your first opportunity. That's what I would say. So thanks so much, Frank, for calling in from Philadelphia. Wow, we've run out of time. I cannot believe that we've come to the end of the show already. Time flies by on the Cale Clark Show. But we will be back, of course, tomorrow. So you're going to want to join us then for our final show of the week. We've also got the week that was coming up. Lucas is working on that compilation. You're not going to want to miss it. It's kind of our summary of the week on the Cale Clark Show. So Lucas Holt did produce today, as he does every day. Karen Moran works social media. Patrick Alog answered the phones. Thank you so much, Patrick, for doing all that and for helping out Frank offline. Dr. Stacy Trisankos is going to be guest hosting Training with Timory coming up next. So stay tuned for that. God bless you. See you tomorrow. Take it away, Michaela.
Thank you for listening to my daddy.